We're speaking with Darrell Walters, a New York City transit worker, a bus operator working out of the Michael T. Quill Garage.
That's Michael J. Quill.
Michael J. Quill. Thank you. Michael J. Quill in mid-Manhattan. And if time permits, we'll be taking a couple of listener phone calls at 212-209-2900. Darrell, this radio station has a large listenership. Many of them use public transportation. Is there anything that you would like to say yourself to the riding public?
Yes, I would. I appreciate the opportunity for this. There is a consensus in the city that transit workers in general and bus operators in particular don't like their job or don't like to pick people up. That can be furthest from the truth.
Okay, now explain that. What do you mean, don't like to pick people up? Because we had this this conversation before when we sat together at the Fish, a place that's very bus driver friendly,
yes,
by the way.
One Fish, Two Fish on Madison and 97th Street, yes. And I just feel, being an operator for 15 years, I've come across a lot of things. And what is prevalent to me, people are under the assumption that when a bus driver pulls away from the curb, like, I can't speak about conductors or token booth agents or motormen. I'm a bus operator, so I can only speak about what I know. When a bus operator pulls away from the curb and you come running because you have to get to a very important meeting or a very important function, that bus operator is just being mean to you and won't open the door. That's the popular misconception. Driving a bus is my job. I don't do it for fun. My job has rules that are handed down by the MTA. The MTA has very specific rules and regulations regarding opening the door once a bus leaves the curb. Now, I know it seems like a silly little thing, and most operators have done it. Like I said, if you have regulars and your regular is running a little late and you've pulled away, but you see this person who rides with you every day, yes, a lot of bus operators open the door. That is 100% wrong. If that individual, if that intending customer injures himself, running, slipping on the door, running for the bus, getting hit by a bike who comes between the curb, that is the bus operator's fault 100%. He doesn't have a leg to stand on when he goes to arbitration. None whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There are people that do it, like I said, but they're not supposed to. And I would just like New York City to know that the MTA workers want to get you where you want to go. They want to get you there safely. They want to get you there courteously. But if you come to Citibank at 301, the place that holds your money, they won't let you in.
Yeah, that's right.
If you go to TWA and try to get on that plane 1 minute after the plane, they won't let you on.
That's
and you're
right.
Paying them.
Right.
And that's the point I'm trying to get over, the respect. They think that it's just a game, fun, that we're doing. No, this is work.
Right.
And it's very important that I get you safely where you're going, because I have a family and I don't want to take money out of their mouth because you slipped and fell.
I wonder if it shouldn't be that they post the rules so the
exactly.
public...
Exactly. They could put that. Right. They could put these things to educate the public
right.
on the buses and flyers.
Yes.
Simple thing to do.
Yes.
I just don't believe the transit authority holds that in their top priorities.
Right.
I think it's almost fun to have the public and us at odds. And it shouldn't be.
Right.
It really shouldn't be.
Right.
When you've been waiting 20 minutes for a bus and the bus finally gets there, that's probably not the bus you've been waiting on. That bus that's late 20 minutes is somewhere else.
Right.
Either broke down or he's been shorted or changed the route so he can get him back on time. That driver that pulls up to that bus stop with 15 people and Everybody's angry, and rightly so. You should be. But he's not the guy you're waiting
on. Right, right.
So just keep that in mind when you get on the bus and you want to just start in on him. Realize this is really not the guy I've been waiting on.
Right.
That guy's somewhere else.
So there's a listening. There's a lot of tension then involved in your
yes.
your line of work.
Yes, a lot of stress.
Yes.
When I started this job in 91, and when I started, they told us that the life expectancy for a retired bus operator was 2 years after he retired.
Wow.
Because of the stress between the traffic, between the schedule, between not knowing where the bathroom is going to be when you get to the end of the line.
Wow.
There are a lot of things, a lot of unknown nuances of the job that the ridership doesn't understand. I'm not faulting them for that, but there are things that they can do
right.
to try to understand.
Right.
That is, the MTA could be a little more forthcoming in
yes.
trying to
making them understand that these are not our rules. We don't
let
make
the public
these up
understand
as we go.
This
is what we're trained to do. This is what we're told to do. And if we don't do it, we're disciplined.
Mm. Well, what about a couple of other issues I'd like to raise before we take a break, maybe, and take a couple of phone calls. You talked about the time element involved in it, that is probably, if the bus is late, that's not the bus that you're waiting on. The issue of running on schedule, with respect to having to stop your bus and pick up people that are handicapped.
That's correct.
And the issue of women bus drivers, with respects to facilities for them at the end of the line. Could you speak about that?
Well, I can give you what I heard. I can't tell you what I know. I'm not a female bus operator. But the average line in the city is approximately 45 to an hour from one end to the other.
Mm-hmm.
That means going to the bathroom, getting a break. If you catch a cramp, these are things you have to deal with for an hour. I don't know too many people that work that can't get up and go to the bathroom within 5 minutes.
Right.
We can't. And some of that causes you stress. You have to be careful what you ate the night before.
Wow.
You have to be careful what kind of diet you want to be on. A high fiber diet is nothing but trouble waiting to happen.
Wow.
For a bus operator. With the bouncing up and down, your kidneys can be damaged. You need to drink a lot of water. That poses a problem when it's time to use a facility in the middle of the line.
Yes.
Female operators, I'm sure, have their own hardships when it comes to certain times, in their cycles, that having a proper, clean facility to go to,
right.
and having understanding when a person gets to the end of the line and has to go to the ladies' room or to the men's room, and you have people waiting for the bus, and you're almost treated as a villain. Oh, you did this on purpose. Mm-hmm. I went to the bathroom on purpose. No, I went to the bathroom because nature called.
Right, right.
So it's just, I think if most people stopped for a moment and thought about the day in the life of a bus operator or transit worker, the attitudes would be a little different.
Right.
It's just, some of it is ignorance. You know, they just don't know. And then some of it is they don't care.
Right.
I just want to get to 57th Street.
Yeah, right. But, you know, one of the things, being up against the city and all the resources they have and the state and the governor, everyone was against you. In the strike, one of the things that seemed to come through, though, even though people had to walk to work and were inconvenienced, that a lot of the riding public were very sympathetic to the workers.
Yes, they were. I work in Manhattan, and because of the four-person rule below 96th Street, I could not drive into picket at the depot where I work.
Right.
So I picketed at the depot in Queens. And for the most part, the public, like you said, was sympathetic.
Yeah.
They didn't like the fact that they had to get up 2 hours.
Right.
They didn't
right.
like the fact that, that their schedule was being changed around. But they understood that this wasn't a case of we're rich and we're trying to get richer. We're working class people and we're just trying to get a fair contract.
Right. And that's really something, too, because, you know, nowadays, one of the fact of the matter is that a lot of people are, I don't want to say they're anti-union, but they're really just not as sympathetic with the workers. Or they're not, you don't have the solidarity we used to have. But I think that the powers that be were taken back. At the reaction of the public, because they felt the public was going to make you the bad guy right off
exactly,
the bat. Yeah,
exactly. And thankfully, it didn't. And so that was why this conversation with Michael that we had, it was so nice to have, because there are things that the ridership needs to know.
Right.
And I believe that if people understood that these are not our rules, these are the MTA rules, then they will, their animosity would not be focused on us. There are town meetings and group community meetings when the TA wants to cut a line, when they want to change bus stops, when they want to raise the fare. This is the time that you should voice your outrage.
Right.
Telling the bus driver or the conductor that this subway stop is out of the way for me doesn't change it.
Yeah.
They don't listen to us, as evident with this contract.
Right.
They don't listen to it, their workers. Yeah. So a voice to the MTA, a petition by the community, goes much further than 75 people complaining about a bus stop, because I can't change the bus stop.
Right.
Well, once again, we're speaking with Darrell Walters, a New York City transit worker, a bus operator working out of the Michael J. Quill garage in mid-Manhattan. And I know, Earl, we have some other things, some other business to take care of. I want to try to get some listener phone calls in. I don't know whether we're going to be able to get to that today, but just let me read something from the chief leader. And those of you who are interested in what goes on in this city in terms of labor, you should be reading the chief leader. Let me just read a portion of this this article by Ginger Adams Otis. And I'll pick it up in the middle of this story. Transport Workers Union Local 100, however, was angered that while the bus operator was given a serious penalty, maybe I shouldn't have done that, the NYC Transit supervisor investigating the crash denied her use of a bathroom, forcing her instead to relieve herself in a coffee cup at the back of a well-lighted bus, but only got a re-instruction by the agency's Office of Labor Relations. And I read that in the middle of the article. If you're interested, you can get the chief leader, TWU Hits Disparate Accident Penalties, and find out more information from your for yourself. It is 4:30 in New York City, and you're tuned to 99.5 FM. I think we're going to have to take a break right about now, Earl, and maybe we can take a phone call or two at 212-209-2900. Just came out of the fundraising drive that we were in for a month. So if you'd like to call and talk to Darrell Walters, a transit worker, a bus operator, if you have a question, a concern, you can call us now at 212-209-2900. Again, 212-209-2900. And it does seem like there is some activity on the phone line. So we're going to go to those phone lines right now and take your phone call. Please keep your comments brief and right to the point. WBAI, good afternoon. You are on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
I just have a comment for Darrell.
Go right ahead. Darrell's right here.
I'd just like to say during the transit strike in December, it was the week before Christmas or the Christmas week, I was out there picketing with the transit workers, and I don't work for transit, but I'm still behind you guys, and I support you 100%.
Thank you very much. It's people like you that makes our jobs probably a lot easier, and that's why we do it, and also for the check.
Okay. My name is Alicia, and I work in Manhattan.
Thank you, Alicia, very, very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that. 212-209-2900. We're talking with Daryl Walters, a transit worker, a bus operator. And Earl, I thank you very much for allowing us this time to bring this issue to us.
I think it's been excellent for the same reasons that you say, is that the public, we don't know these things. I'm listening to you talk about the rules there when people run for the bus. And I was not aware that there are specific rules on these things. Also, I've been hearing you use a word, discipline. What does that mean? Who disciplines you? Is this just your immediate supervisor or?
Well, every garage has an AGM and a superintendent, the dispatchers and operators. You're disciplined by the AGM usually. And discipline can be for anything.
Would that be the assistant general manager?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That could be anything as small as not having the safety bar up or the seatbelt on, or something as serious as having an accident, being out of work, things like that.
And what kind of penalties can they impose?
Depending on the severity and the
number
the
of times,
the frequency of a situation, you can get a month in the street.
Really?
30 days? Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's. You know, I'm not sitting here defending every transit worker in the city. There are people, like in any field, that go awry and don't do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Look through the paper on any given day, and you'll see someone in a position that used their position and abused it.
Mm-hmm.
And when an operator, when a conductor, when a station agent does something wrong, they should be disciplined. But discipline is not something that should be used to terrorize an employee because you want them to do something. Case in point, most of the times when you have conflicts with customers on the bus where you're stuck in traffic and they want to get off right here, and your answer, rightly so, should be, "Miss, I have to put you off in a bus stop. Well, I'm going to write a letter." Now, if you're going to write a letter, fine. Write a letter and say, "I asked the bus operator to put me off in the middle of the street, and he wouldn't." They'll probably give me a commendation for that. But you're not going to write a letter. You're threatening me.
Right.
You're trying to make me afraid to let you off in the middle of the street.
Yes.
Now, every bus operator in the city doesn't have 15 years. And every bus operator in the city can't articulate in a way to cause the conflict to subside.
Right.
And that inability to do that might end that operator in the boss's office with a complaint, not because he wouldn't let the customer off, but now because they got into this back and forth banter.
Yes.
It's a system that's designed to intimidate the worker.
Yeah.
We don't need intimidation. What we need is a fair contract.
Right.
That's what we need.
Right. Well, I think the word that you used earlier is a very important word, stress, because as you said, people don't understand what it means, but you put it in an unmistakable way. It shortens your life.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And it has to be taken into consideration. We're not parts of the bus. We're
right.
Individuals. We're, yeah. we're people doing a job that's necessary.
Let's take one more phone call for Daryl Walters here before we move on. WBAI, you're on the air and you're on the Caldwell Chronicle. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was wondering if Mr. Walters might explain the request to stop rule after 10 o'clock at night and before 5 o'clock in the morning. And because I found that many people don't know about this. I've even gotten on buses and made that request, and drivers seemed to be ignorant of the rule. and didn't want to do that. I was wondering about that. I also I ride the buses regularly. I noticed that some drivers don't use the seatbelt. Is that permitted for bus drivers to be exempt from that seatbelt rule? What is that? And please explain how that request to stop rule at night works. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. First of all, the seatbelt has to be worn by every operator in service, whether he's in passenger service or whether he's going dark, which means pulling the bus in and out of the depot. The seatbelt has to always be worn. Why some operators don't have it on, I can't answer that. But just because you don't see a seatbelt on an operator, it could mean the seatbelt is defective. I'm not trying to make any excuses. Yes, I'm a bus operator, but the seatbelts have to be worn at all times, all the time. As far as the request a stop program, which is, like the caller said, from 10 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock a.m., that means a customer can request to be let off somewhere that is not a stop between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m., and if the driver deems it safe, that the driver can allow the customer to get off there. What people don't seem to understand is it's at the operator's discretion. It's at the operator's discretion if this situation is safe. If a bus makes a left turn at 23rd Street and you want to get off on the near side, which would be the right side, that would not be safe for him to let you off there and then try to make a left-hand turn from the right-hand lane. So he would have to let you off after the turn was made or further up the block before the turn was made. But people take this request to stop rule and they just run with it. I can get off anywhere I want. No, you get off anywhere you request if it's safe.
All right. Well, Darryl, I want to thank you very, very much for being with us this afternoon. Darryl Walters, Mr. Darryl Walters, a bus operator with 15 years on the job from the Michael J. Quill Depot. And also, he is the assistant business manager for the Society for African American Transit Employees. Once again, on the web at saate.org. Darryl, thank you very much for taking the time and coming down here this afternoon and being on the Caldwell Chronicle and talking with myself and Earl and talking to the public as well.
Yes. Michael, thank you for having me. And Mr. Caldwell, thank you for letting me be part of the show.
It's our pleasure to have you here, and I hope you'll come back again.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You've shed a lot of light on things that I know are dear to people's hearts because, as you say, all of us, we use that subway and those buses.
Thank you, sir.